Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Tage Thompson, and that shot gives Buffalo a 1-0 lead with 2:26 remaining in the first period. Goals in back-to-back games here on this trip. Sabres working in behind the net. Got a man in front, scores. Jiří Kulík goes to the front of the net, and he tips it in, and the Sabres have tied the game at 2. Kulík just on his 7th draw. There's a shot, scores! Another face-off win by Jiří Kulík, and J.J. Paterka puts the Sabres on top 3-2 with 6:27 to go in the third here in Vancouver. 3 seconds to go, one shot for Besser, rebound to the net, saved by Luukkonen! Saved by Luukkonen! 3-2 the final, the Buffalo Sabres hang on.
Off to Calgary and Edmonton to continue and ultimately wrap the four-game road trip with which they are on. Luukkonen victorious, and the new top line, Marty Baron, was in on all three Buffalo goals. We say new because Paterka, Kulík, and Thompson supplanted the previous new top line of Zucker, Kulík, and Thompson. And in fact, the trio that we saw last night has now played more even-strength minutes together than the one that was in the game before. I don't know how we're doing this. 47 games into the year, we keep finding these new combinations that hadn't really played together before. And boy, did the coach land on a jackpot last night.
Yeah, he landed on a jackpot. You're right. I thought Jiří Kulík had been... was good in Seattle, had some chances, but took another step forward, right? And Lindy Ruff after Seattle was not happy with the compete level, with, you know, a lot of the parts of the games got out-battled, got out-muscled. Look, I mean, Jiří Kulík is a guy that is strong. Like, you see him off the ice without his equipment on. You see him on the ice, you're like, hey, he's... maybe not the biggest of guys, but you see him in street clothes and you realize he's a strong guy. And he won a lot of battles yesterday, which created some offense. And he was good in all aspects of the game. Great offensively with his line mates in Paterka and Thompson. Really good defensively. Was asked to play 5-on-6 late in the game. Was asked to be going against the JT Miller line all game long. And crushed it in the shot attempts department, crushed it in the shots and in the scoring chances department. It was a really, really solid effort. And I'm going to give Jiří Kulík the hat of catalyst for that line yesterday, because I thought he was the guy in the middle that got it going.
The hat of catalyst. We need to brand that.
Yes, brand that. We'll put catalyst and we're going to give it out at the end of every game. Who was the guy that deserves the hat?
Well, that, and I want to always know who was your fourth star.
Yes,
you made me laugh last night.
Yes, last night was Elias Pettersson. He was maybe fifth star because I thought Luukkonen deserved a star in the game. I thought the top line, all three of them deserved a star, and then Pettersson was good for Vancouver. But look, it is the type of game that makes me... ask myself a ton of questions all the time, but it opens my eyes to the opportunities sometimes that the season will present. Mm-hmm. Like, Yuri Kulik started the year with the Sabres, but, you know, it was, where does he fit, right? Where is he going to go? Then, you know, he goes back to Rochester, comes back up. Where does Yuri Kulik fit on that roster? And now that Tage has been moved to the wing and Dylan Cousins really didn't take that step forward when playing on the top line, Ryan McLeod did a good job, but is Ryan McLeod a 1C? Is this the opportunity for Yuri Kulik to assert himself as the, I'm young, I'm a rookie, but I will show you exactly what I can do, why you drafted me, why I've been really good in the AHL, and I could be that top line center. Like, it is a question that after last night I kept asking myself.
Did you get an answer, or did you just keep asking the same question?
Well, I keep asking the same question, and I think the answer to the question lies into Tage Thompson.
Okay.
What is Tage Thompson, right? Because is Tage Thompson a center, or now that he's moved to the wing, is he now back to and reverting back to because of Lindy Ruff as a coach and maybe his play and maybe what he wants from players? Now all of a sudden, Tage Thompson is better suited on the wing. Like, that's where the Yuri Kulik conversation starts, but it also ends with, where does Tage Thompson fit best?
Well, what's the more important question here? Do I have to figure out Tage's role on the team first?
Yes. I think you have
to
figure out
Okay, so my follow-up to that is, here in the moment, we're having a little back and forth on it. Does it really matter a year from now, 2 years from now, if Tage sometimes plays wing, sometimes plays center? Does he have to have a defined role so that all-star voters, i.e. writers, at the end of the year, know where to place him among the forward ranks should he go off for close to 50 like he did a couple of years
ago? I.e. Alex Ovechkin as a right winger and a left winger. He's got
nobody else did it, Marty.
Nobody else knows.
Hey, it sucks for them, but it's good for him.
He's getting more votes that way. I feel like you almost have to know just because of the direction the team is going to take. If it's Tage Thompson as a top line center, all of a sudden Yuri Kulik is your second line center in the offensive upside and the all around game that I think he's displayed. It's only been two games that he's played on the top line, so it could go either way after this, but it's promising. So if you have Thompson and Kulik right there, okay, where does that leave Dylan Cousins? Does he have a spot in your, you know, top six? Do you want Dylan Cousins as a third line center? Like, it just, it gives you more of a direction. If Tage moves to the wing and Tage is now a winger and Yuri is your number one center and then Dylan is your number two center, then okay, like it again, maybe you take a different direction as to how you fill the gaps around them. I think that's where the answer or the question has to be posed to, you know, inside that coach's room.
Yeah, I think it would be premature probably to go beyond the current roster too much because we're in season and the next wave, if you will, which sounds kind of ridiculous because Yuri's only 20. And he's now in this position the last couple of games, but based on AHL experience, if you were to try to have this bigger picture view, you would say, well, despite missing over 20 games due to injury, Noah Oslin has garnered the most significant praise of any player under Michael Leone this year in Rochester for his ability to play all areas of the game. And as an added bonus, the points are starting to come in the last five. This year's first round draft pick,
as a true center, right? And the Sabres love him.
That's what I'm saying. But it's game 47 right now in the books, and I don't know if we should really waste a lot of time because those guys aren't coming up right now unless it's an emergency.
No, and this is what the fans want to hear. Like, have great prospect at center. 100%. Well, how does that turn into wins now?
So let's keep building what they have here.
Yep.
Last night it was Peterka with Yuri and Tage. If Zucker comes back healthy tomorrow, do you stay with the line we saw last night? And what does it mean for Zucker? And what could it mean for someone else? Like, without even looking, and you can look it up or I can look it up here.
Yeah.
How much have we seen Zucker with Cousins and Tuck this year? I'm going to guess not a lot. I could be
I'm
way wrong.
Yes, not a lot. And I can look it up really quickly here. You know, Natural Stat Trick is a great resource for those type of situation. You just go in line tools and you say, okay, we're going to do Cousins, Zucker.
I was not expecting an online tutorial here
and
for the talk.
No, I'm going to give you the online tutorial. Here, submit. You're going to get a, you know, a, this. Right now, they played 7 minutes and 22 seconds of ice time this
year. Kept my winning streak alive. Love it.
Keeping your streak of new lines.
And by the way, Detroit's lost 4 out of 5, so I was right about that too. So
that was going to come back down to earth for a little bit. Now, like, okay, I think for me, yes, if Jason Zucker was to, you know, get over the illness that he's dealing with the last 24, 48 hours, and he comes back in the lineup, then I'm putting him on in the place of Tyson Kozak yesterday. So it would be Zucker, Cousins, and Tuck. And that keeps Benson, Krebs, and Quinn together. And then Kozak, I think, would play with Malin, Stein, and Lafferty on the fourth line. You go back to 12 and 6. Mm-hmm. That is where I would go. But the whole Kulik and, you know, the rest of the lines kind of situation, and when McLeod comes back, because McLeod is going to come back here hopefully soon, they say they're hoping it's not too long, then where does McLeod fit? Well, McLeod's was probably more of a third-line center anyway. So maybe you're going Kulik, Kulik, Cousins, McLeod, and Krebs as a fourth-line center, which sends Kozak back to Rochester.
Right, which is expected.
Which is expected, which, because of the way that Yuri Kulik is playing now, I feel kind of gives you a look as to, oh, everybody's falling in the right places in the way that you wanted your roster to be shaped, your depth to be shaped. You know, Zucker, is he a top-line guy? Probably not. He's a really good power play guy, but 5-on-5, is he a top-line guy? Well, maybe he's a top six, better suited as a second line. Paterka and Thompson have had really good success together, but it was when Tage was in the middle. Now Tage is on the wing. Kulik is in the middle. There's a way to look at it as to, okay, this is good building blocks, and hopefully it catches something moving forward.
Do you think they'll keep the top or last night's top line together?
I think they're going to keep Paterka, Kulik, and Thompson together, yes. I think J.J. Paterka has looked better, especially in the second half of the game last night, from where he had been before. Yeah. So I thought that was good. Go ahead.
I was just going to say on JJ, there seems to be, and I'm sure he was feeling it too. I mean, he hadn't scored in 12 games.
Yeah.
But his assists and points were still very much among the team best in this time of not scoring and overall for the season. So should a collective we take a step back every now and again and say, like, okay, maybe he's not like as gifted a goal scorer, but he's still picking up points. Like, don't you want a guy that's picking up points consistently?
Yeah, like, and I think that's like the Darlene
thing.
What
I mean?
Darlene has 15 assists in the last 13 games.
Yeah, and
2 assists
and,
yesterday.
Right.
It was great offensively. Played a lot again. Look, he hasn't scored in 18 games. Okay, but he's got 15 assists in the last 13. Pick up points. Have somebody else score.
Right. So, and maybe you've landed on something that last night that unlocks JJ more creatively, both passing and goal scoring wise. And that can happen. That's why it's unscripted. That's why it's hard to imagine that we're sitting here at game 47 and saying, oh, like, can Yuri run with this here as like a top line center? Sorry, that was not in the cards at the start of the year. You and I, because we talk about him all the time, including all the offseason months, we were just hopeful that he was going to make it and get an opportunity to play.
Well,
never
again,
once did we sit here and say, you know, I think if you give Yuri 20 games, we're going to sit in there, we'll be sitting there talking about him being top line center on this team.
He
no, that never was uttered on this show.
he deserves to be on this team. He has a ton of talent, and he has all the abilities. And it's the time now to say, get some NHL experience. Mm-hmm. Absolutely never would have thought Yuri Kulik, first-line center, at any point this year. Does he have the abilities to get there? Yeah, in the future, but now is the time to try it because there's an opening. Mm-hmm. And Lindy Ruff said on in the morning show on WGR this morning that, look, when they moved Tage Thompson to the wing, it was per necessity. He was dealing with an injury. But he did say, and I quote, post-injury, meaning like, oh, Tage is not injured anymore, but he's like the way that Tage has looked on the wing. Mm-hmm. He's like the way that Tage has skated on the wing. He's like the way that Tage has shot more on the wing. Now, Lindy said this morning, Tage was averaging less than 2 shots per game at center. No, he was averaging just shy of 3. He was averaging 2.8 shots per game at center. Well, do you know what he's averaging as a winger in the last 9 games? 4.2. Mm-hmm. That's a shot and a half more per game by Tage Thompson. He only has 3 goals and 9. So, you know, it's about a 30-goal pace. But I think that a guy that has the shot that Tage Thompson does, you want him to shoot 4, 5, 6 times a game as opposed to 2 or 3. So maybe that is why Lindy feels comfortable having Tage on the wing and now having Yuri Kulik up front because he likes when Tage shoots the puck. And those are easy numbers to look at when he has 5 and 6 and 7 shots in some of the games that he's played on the wing.
Okay. So,
sorry, Lindy, I don't want to pick on you, but this is now twice. The other day he said, oh, Tage's shot was 109 miles an hour when the NHL Edge added at 103. So I like how he's picking on stats. So I'm going to pick on him.
Can we make it a segment?
Know,
Marty
on Lindy?
Rebuffs Ruff, something like that.
Well, I mean, I've gotten a lot
Didn't really roll off the tongue, but you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying. I've got a lot of segments on WGR on my days with the A. Lindy and the pancakes and the syrup and all of that. So I can have a make fun of somebody segment. Yeah,
I think you still need honey, not syrup. What the heck is wrong with you? 2025, get a voice, man. Come on.
My voice in the whole month of January has gone whatever. And now Plowmaster was out until 3 a.m. last night. So, but I was having so much fun, Duffer. I'll tell you this, not a car on the road, me and the plow, moving snow around, listening to music. It was fantastic.
What kind of music? What kind of music?
Okay, yesterday I had a great Spotify playlist of all French, Canadian, Quebec songs from the 80s and 90s. It was booming in the car. If you were walking around East Aurora yesterday and saw Plowmaster 43, you're probably wondering, what the hell is this guy listening to in his car? Like, I probably woke up people in the village of East Aurora.
Oh, man. So, back to Yuri.
What kind of music is Yuri listening to before the game these days?
You know what? He may not tell you the truth, but whatever he says, he's going to deliver with a smile. Like, he has this wonderful innocence about him, whatever the topic is. And that's kind of why I get, I don't know, just a little more excited for him that with each game here, it's finding that, you know, that proof, that validation, like, okay, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, right? And then the smile is going to get bigger, and then you're going to start seeing him more often in these post-game pressers. And
did you see the interaction between him and Thompson yesterday? So when we showed the Tage Thompson post-game presser, and they're asking Tage about his, you know, relationship or chemistry with Yuri Kulik, and Tage looks over to his right because Yuri was probably sitting there, and he goes, well, I keep feeding him in the slot, and he keeps hitting the goalie in the chest. And then they ask Yuri the same thing, and Yuri goes, I keep getting good chances, and I hit the goalie in the belly all the time. It was really funny how they kind of interacted back and forth between the two like that.
So after a slow first 17 games for Yuri from a production standpoint, he has 10 points in the last 16 games. Which, if you put over the course of a season, and I think it's pretty much what you could have reasonably expected. But also, because there's a little bit of balance now, especially after last night with the assists, that was, to me, the alarming part, was how has this guy played so many games and played at center, and they're not, like, he's not even picking up some, like, freebie assists along the way, right? Now, obviously, you would expect, and he has, been able to get more while playing with top players. I get that. But at the end of the day, I think this is more of a... more representative of what Jiří is and then where he can go. Now, I do want to add, because if we didn't provide clarity on this matter, we wouldn't be doing our Sabres Live audience justice. But if I hear one more time that this guy's great on the dot, like I'm going to just walk off the set. You have to go back 10 games to find a game where he was more than 50% on faceoffs. Yeah. So please park the percentages. They don't matter. It's irrelevant. You said it best. I wish we could have popped champagne at 1 a.m. last
night. Get the balloons, Jeff. Get the balloons.
And maybe brought in a band in the moment that you said it's knowing what to do. After the puck is dropped, and you've been on this hockey IQ train for so long, like it never stops. And thank goodness for that.
The train never stops. Yes.
It has little to do with where the puck immediately goes from the two combatants. It's what you do after. And honestly, it's, and look, you said it to me during either on air or during the break last night. Like, what was his ozone numbers? Two wins,
two
three
for
losses?
Five. He was 40%, 2 for 5. Those are the two draws he won in the offensive zone. They result in goals, both of them.
So face-off crowd, tell me what happened on the other three. Like,
well,
seriously.
Exactly. But here's the thing, and I looked at the Sports Logic numbers this morning. The Sabres had 4 offensive zone face-off that they won at even strength. 2 of them resulted in shots on goal from the slot. Those are the 2 goals. So they only won 4 draws. But you know what? At the end of the night, you're going to say, wow, those 2 that they won, they did something with them, right? Mm-hmm. That is the big difference here. Even Jiří, when he was asked after the game, hey, you were great in the face-off circle, those 2 face-offs that you won. He was kind of looking around like, I don't want to lie here. Like, he's like.
And what did he say? I just take more draws?
He goes something like, I'm not like the best at face-offs, but I like, you know, I get more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, awesome. You won 2 draws and they resulted in goals. Fantastic. But it was still 45% for the game. And these are the only 2 draws he won in the offensive zone. But why I think it's significant, the impact that Jiří had, the Vancouver Canucks at 2-2 with 6.5 minutes left in the game, iced the puck, right? There was a faceoff in the offensive zone. The Quinn, Krebs, and Benson line was on the ice. Vancouver wins the draw, tried to make a play. They iced the puck. So the Vancouver like players can't change. Quinn, Benson, and Krebs were on the ice for 8 seconds. What does Lindy Ruff do? He says, Jiří, you're going. Jiří, Thompson, and Peterka, you guys are going. It was an 8-second shift. Usually you'd say, you guys stay out there. 8 seconds, you know, continue to put pressure. No, Lindy Ruff put the Kulik line back up there after an 8-second shift because they were the line that we're creating. Right. And then Jiří won the draw. It actually was a broken play.
Correct.
Because the play was supposed to go to Thompson, and Thompson do exactly what he did early in the game. He missed the puck. Dahlin got in and created magic to find Peterka. Boom. But I like the approach here. Your best players needed to be on the ice after the icing, and Lindy Ruff put him on the ice.
Yeah, and you could underscore Dahlin there because –
yeah.
As we've seen since day one, it's why he was drafted where he was. You have to want to be the difference maker in those situations. And he and Byram were like full speed all games. Did it result in some turnovers? Yes. And guess what? When you have, it doesn't matter who's on the ice, but like whether it's Pettersson or Miller, like Yeah. You need to be 100% accurate. Otherwise, you're going to have your pocket picked or your pass intercepted. And yeah, it happens. And it happens over and over and over in the course of the game. But how much do you outweigh the tough moments? And like, it ended up being no contest. Like, Darlene's presence, drive, creativity, ability, all of it, that's why they win the game. Like, his two assists in the third period are major, like super significant in all of this. So,
well, and you're going to have turnovers. I get it. The best players have the puck on their stick more often. Quinn Hughes had some turnovers yesterday.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, in Vancouver today, they're probably talking about, well, Quinn Hughes, when he doesn't play with Filip Hronek, and that defense is having some issues or whatever. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they lost the game. If Vancouver had won yesterday, you're saying, wow, what a game by Quinn Hughes. He's able to overcome. Winning and losing dictates a lot of where the narrative goes. Darlene yesterday had a couple of turnovers. No big deal. What can you make on the other side to overcome that and give your team a win?
They've won three of their last four in Vancouver. Now they're on to Calgary, where they are 5-1-1 in their last seven, and they defeated the Flames earlier this year on home ice in a shootout. The Flames are one of the best home teams in the NHL, though, so presumably it may feel a little different in this matchup. Calgary has remained in the hunt and, as of today, in a wild card position. They have done so. It's been kind of funny. Like, they're 4-2 in the last six. They recently got to a season-high 7 games above 500. They're at 6 games above right now. And there's still a lot to like, and I'm sure there's still an awful lot of doubters out there. But I don't know. I dare say they've got a little bit more consistency in their game than the opponent Buffalo saw last night. Would you agree?
I would agree 100%, and it starts at net. I think they've gotten more consistency out of Dustin Wolf and Dan Vladar than the Vancouver Canucks have had out of Thatcher Demko. And look, Demko last night, was he bad? No, but he wasn't great either. They need better from that position, and the Flames have gotten it out of Dustin Wolf, a great rookie who is probably top three right now in the race for the Calder as Rookie of the Year. So, I think the Calgary Flames are definitely a team that have been better and more consistent. I laugh because every time we talk about the Canucks and their either road or home success or lack of success, I think of Harry Neal and his quote from years ago when the Canucks couldn't win on the road and couldn't win at home. And, you know, they ask, what is Harry's greatest challenge right now as a coach? He goes, my greatest challenge is to find a place to play. We can't win at home and we can't win on the road. The Canucks are not a good team at home right now.
No.
They're one of the worst in the NHL when you look at the home records.
Right.
And that is surprising because teams have to travel from the east to the west. And, you know, and a lot of time they play on back-to-back because you've got Seattle and Vancouver now. They can't take advantage of that.
No more back-to-backs for Buffalo before the break in February for Four Nations. Yep. They have 7 games to go. Calgary and Edmonton on this trip, home against Boston, Nashville, New Jersey, and Columbus, and then 1 game in Nashville before they take the break. So right now it's a case of just perhaps riding Luukkonen. We can discuss that further, and we can definitely look at some of the great stories from around the NHL. You can never predict a storyline and the next coach's challenge. What happens if any type of food gets thrown on the ice?
Oh.
Should the call be reversed? That story and more to come on
Nachos.
Sabres Live. We're calling all future NHL stars. Yes, the Sabres youth in the form of Youth Hockey Day. Can't wait to see you February 2nd at the rink. Devils are in. First 5,000 kids in attendance take home a Sabres water bottle. Visit sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. Stay with us.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It is truly a shame that Edmonton was not next on the docket for Buffalo, based on how this week has gone for them already. Their PR in wake of McDavid's suspension, the Ovechkin quote yesterday, sucks for him, it's good for us.
Good for us.
In the absence of McDavid, the fact they hang on the Capitals then win the game last night in Edmonton to run their point streak to 8-0-3, and the Oilers still have Vancouver at home before they get Buffalo on Saturday. So please take us through.
Well, do you feel like the Edmonton Oilers PR slipped on some nacho cheese by putting this release out there, this press release? It was the dumbest press release ever. We just wanted to let the world know that we disagree with the decision, but support our player. The guy cross-checked another player in the face. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, he's going to get suspended. And the 3 games was a good 3 games for Connor McDavid. Whatever. We are not going to appeal that, blah, 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 whatever. So the reason why I say did they slip on nacho cheese, because there was a moment in the Oilers game yesterday against Washington where Corey Perry, on zone entry, took a one-timer. And when you look at, wait a second, what's on the ice right in this line of sight of the goaltender Logan Thompson, right behind Corey Perry, there is a full-out nachos that is laying on the ice. The bin, the nachos, the cheese is spreading all over. And when the goal went in, Logan Thompson gets beat high glove. And he's pointing out like, but wait a minute. There's nachos on the ice. What is that doing there? And it's hilarious. Like, look, you got to play unless there's something dangerous. I don't think the nachos were dangerous to anybody while this was happening. But Logan Thompson's quote after the game, Duffer, is an all-timer. You know, I saw the guy that threw the nachos. Wasn't too happy because the Oilers were losing at that point 3-1. He goes, but credit to him. He got them a goal. And then he proceeded to say, I got to play until the whistle. I shouldn't have been distracted with that. But the fact that Logan Thompson saw the guy get out of his seat, walk down to the glass, throw the nachos on the ice, and then a few seconds later he gets scored, that was pretty funny.
Only funny for Thompson because they would hang on to win. And,
yes.
I mean, imagine if that was the catalyst for the comeback.
Imagine the amount of nachos that gets thrown on the ice the next game.
Right.
If every time that happens, the Oilers come back and win.
And don't think it still won't at some point. Like, they're, you know, that's just the nature of
it's the thing now. It's on social media, so
all the
everybody
it,
gets yeah. their 15 seconds of fame or 15 minutes of right. fame, and it's like, oh, let's throw, you know, all this stuff on the ice. No, don't throw anything on the ice, but it is pretty funny that nachos were tossed on the ice and it led to a goal.
So Washington remains first overall in the National Hockey League. They're 8-0-3. It's so impressive, but I feel like we've talked about it. The only thing I would say is Logan was really excited about the win because yes. he basically said, I've not had success against this team ever. And because he's been carrying the mail a little bit here without Lindgren, you wondered aloud, you know, at the time of Four Nations selection, like what's happening here? Like, mm-hmm. so how are you viewing Logan Thompson today?
I view him as the number one goaltender with the Washington Capitals, a guy that is kind of was voted off the island in Vegas a little bit. Like, I don't think that they really liked him in Vegas from talking to a lot of people. Maybe they didn't love the quirkiness of his game. He's not very structured, but like, is, you know, makes saves, whatever. I think it's been great in Washington. I think the team has really supported him. They supported Lindgren, but I look at Logan Thompson as potentially one of the best goaltender right now in the National Hockey League. You got Connor Hellebuck, 100%. You got Igor Shesterkin, 100%. But just this season, mm-hmm. Logan Thompson has to be a top five goalie in the NHL in the way that he's played.
He has to be a Vezina finalist at this point. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think at this point he would probably be. The only thing with that is that when you think about the Vezina, a lot of time, like what your career body of work has done carries some weight, right? So
right.
Hellebuck, Shesterkin, Mackenzie Blackwood and his play
I think
in Colorado.
That's why I said finalist. I didn't say he would win, but
do you think like if Mackenzie Blackwood plays the second half, like the way that he's played in Colorado since then, that he could be one of those?
No, not. I mean, there's nobody in the league that has the winning percentage of Logan right now.
Yeah.
And like he's 22
Darcy
wins.
Darcy Kemper was up there too, but yeah.
Not with two losses though.
He has three, I think.
The Kings have lost 4 out of 5. Anyway, Thompson is 22-2-3.
Yeah.
With a 209 and a 925. So.
No, it's incredible.
It is incredible. And the fact that he's only 6 wins away from Hellebuck while platooning with Lindgren is insane. Like.
They were
anyway.
Every single game but one until mm-hmm. the Charlie Lindgren injury was a rotation.
Yeah.
Was Lindgren, Thompson. Then they played Thompson on back-to-back one time. It was about game 25 of the season, and then they went back to the rotation mm-hmm. until he played 4 in a row when Lindgren got hurt. They're going to probably do – I want to see them pick a guy maybe after the Four Nations face-off and say, mm-hmm. okay, you'll play – 3 out of 5, 3 out of 5, 3 out of 5, so that you're building up for the playoffs. I don't want an Allmark Swayman situation in like Boston last year where, oh, we got 2 number one goalies going into the playoffs. No, pick one. But I like the way they've handled their goalies in Washington.
Kemper, by the way, you didn't say it, did you? 13-4-5. So.
Yeah.
Which is almost 10 wins behind.
Though,
like, what's that?
Shesterkin now, since he was out with the upper body injury,
right.
he's come back. He's been lights out. He's got back-to-back shutout. Duffer, do you find it that every time the Ottawa Senators lose a game, that Brady Tkachuk runs a goalie over, runs somebody over, he gets in a fight? Like, every time they lose a game, Brady Tkachuk loses his mind.
Yes. But in his defense, he sometimes does it in victories, too. And all you had to do was see the most recent one against Boston last Saturday when they won in overtime.
Yeah.
He was a big catalyst that way. However, Brady Tkachuk has 0 points in the last 8 games. The only thing more surprising than that is that Ottawa's 5-1-1 in their last 7, despite being whitewashed by the Rangers 5-0 last night.
Yeah.
So something is amiss with Brady. They're not going to be able to stay at this pace, I don't think, unless he starts, you know, having the type of production. But we just rattled off Washington's streak. They're kind of, it doesn't matter because they're first and they're going to be in. Montreal is 13-3-1 in the last 17. The Rangers have a 9-game point streak. The Flyers have a 6-game point streak. Ottawa's 5-1-1. Columbus is 10-3-2. Boston's on a 4-game point streak. Like, it's crazy, the turnaround here. And like,
nobody wanted to be in the wild card spot. Now everybody wants the wild card spot. It's like nobody was winning. Now everybody is winning. And Montreal have been doing it, coming back in games. They were down 3 times to the Rangers on Sunday. They came back. They were up 3-0 to Toronto on Saturday. They lost 7-3, but they've been in either in every game, like fighting back. They were down 2-0 to Tampa. They fought back yesterday. Like, I feel that Montreal is a team right now that at any moment it could go bad or good again, right? It can continue to go good because everybody seems to be playing better, or the fact that they've had to come back in so many games can go the other way now and you start losing those games. But, you know, good for Montreal to be able to get now within 1 point of the Tampa Bay Lightning as the third team in the Atlantic Division. I mean, that's
surprising. Well, there's four teams right there within 2 points.
Ottawa, Boston, Montreal, all within the point of Tampa right now.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, are you now convinced that Montreal is going to consistently be in this race, or is it still a quarter season blip? And let me preface this, and I'm not saying that they were at this level per se, but after losing the first 9 games this year, San Jose went through more than a quarter of a season where they looked almost like maybe not quite 13-3-1, but they stabilized and were able to just keep picking up points. And then now everything, the bottom, any other part that is assembled,
if they could only hold
the
lead, right, they'd still be in a good spot if they could hold
a
lead.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But for real, in the East, like, do you sense that Montreal now has their footing somehow, some way?
I sense that Montreal is going to continue to perform well. Why? Because I think they've got two goalies that are playing well right now. They've got Elaine Hudson that is a game changer. Slafkovský is playing better. Jake Evans is playing good. You're getting more players really getting involved. I don't think Montreal ends up making the playoffs. I think Linus Hallmark is on the ice this morning. He's probably looking at trying to come back before the Four Nations face-off. If not, fully healthy after the tournament. And the Rangers, to me, the Rangers are a team that now they find themselves only 2 points back of Montreal and Ottawa for that second wild card spot. So I'm looking at the Rangers saying that's the team that probably gets in. So they're going to knock a team out, either Ottawa, Montreal, Boston, Columbus. Like, they're going to get ahead of them.
Yeah, and like I say, Philadelphia is right there after going 5-0-1 in their last six.
Remember when I said that the team to watch was, the Sabres were 4 points behind the Rangers, and I said, if you believe the Rangers are going to make it, like, you're in striking distance, and now you're 9 points back.
I need to find a way to get a hold of your Ranger alumni card and run it through a shredder so we don't have to keep hearing about the Rangers, because as soon as you started on that tangent 3 weeks ago, I'm like, please don't let this continue. Please don't let this continue.
So which card should I pull out now? The Flyers, the Islanders, the Rangers, the Sabres? Like,
I don't know. If you were a credit card spokesperson, who would be your company?
Which one gets declined more often? Which one is like, I keep running and it's not working. I don't know.
Well, speaking of not working, and they played, they're playing okay, but the Wings have lost 4 out of 5. So that is definitely worth keeping an eye on. In the West, Vegas has dropped 6 of 7 after we saw them amidst that basically franchise best type run. Like, pretty much best 40 games in franchise history. So what is this? Is this one of our famous blimps on the radar?
Blimps on the radar, the Goodyear blimps on the radar. I feel that Vegas right now is not getting goaltending. Aiden Hill seemed to be in a bit of a rut. Samsonov has not been as good as what he was early in the season. So until that gets fixed, I think Vegas is just going to middle in 500 type of hockey. And that's is allowing now the Oilers to be a point back of them. Colorado is 5 points back of them. I don't know. I think Vegas is still a really good team. At one point this year, I thought Vegas best team in the NHL. But, you know, they were dominating, but now they're not getting saves, and it's making a difference.
Yeah, and we all know the situation in California, specifically Los Angeles area, and if that wasn't, you know, enough to think of, just here in the hockey standpoint, the Kings have dropped 4 or 5, the Ducks have lost 7 of 8, and the Sharks have lost 7 of 8, not to mention 18 of 22. We'll take a quick break, come back with a little more on this day off for the Sabres on the road trip, as they will be into Calgary tomorrow and close out the trip on Saturday afternoon. Keep in mind, the start time for that one is 3:30 for us, with pregame coverage on Saturday on MSG. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres Flames tomorrow. Tonight there's 4 in the NHL. Winnipeg, Colorado. Florida is at LA after dusting off the Ducks last night. Boston is taking on New Jersey, and Columbus, who've lost 2 in a row, are in Toronto. It's already tough enough. I mean, their body of work has been terrific, but now you're in Toronto and at Carolina before returning home, and they're dealing with a Merzlikins issue.
Yeah, Merzlikins looked to have taken a shot high at practice today, so he was kind of hanging around. And then left, and head coach Dean Evason, he said, well, we'll see, right? He was supposed to start tonight, so we'll have to wait until warm-ups probably to see if he's even dressed or not, or if there's a recall happening at some point during the day.
All right, so we spent a lot of time talking about Jiří Kulik early on after his impressive 3-point performance last night. Anyone else on the Sabres roster that you're looking for? Potentially, I know it's hard to, you know, evaluate based on the fact they're off today and with this ongoing illness weaving through the team. It's hard to know who's at 100%, but, you know, are you seeing any other bright spots, things of that nature, as we see Buffalo-Calgary tomorrow?
Saw a lot of jump from Bo Byram yesterday, which was good right from the get-go. Like, he had the first chance, a high shot to the blocker side, was in on that Kulik chance where Thompson hit him. He's the one that drove the net. Look, I mean, nobody's perfect in the NHL, and Bo Byram does have some parts of his games that sometimes you know, scratch your head and you're like, okay, but he does have some great offensive instincts. And when he moves his feet, like he did against Vancouver yesterday, being that he is from out there in BC land and, you know, wanted to maybe play in front of fans and family or whatnot, he was jumping. That's the type of game I'd like to see out of Bo Byram all the time. Is it always going to be like that? Maybe not, but he was flying yesterday.
And you feel, and I suggested the schedule early, the fact that they don't have any back-to-backs between now and the break. Heavy usage of Luukkonen for the next couple of weeks?
And 100%, yes. I mean, they called up Devin Levi to play a game. I don't know that they really want to throw James Reimer in, so go with UPL.
Levi expected to start on Friday for the Amerks. They may get Noitcha back in the mix as well. See you tomorrow at Sabres Live.